The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I met two extraordinary people over the last 2 days, the same people I met twice the last 2 days, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. I'm a chaplain at a hospital, and I walked into a room on Monday, and the patient, was asleep. So I talked to his son and his wife. And his son was so effusive and generous and unhindered in his praise of his father. What a good man his father is. How he helps so many people. The love and adoration that this son had for his father was just beautiful. And the wife was sitting right next to him, and the wife was nodding, assenting, yes. That's the kind of man he is. Evidently, the patient, is a pain management doctor, so a very accomplished man. And I wanted to talk to him to find out, you know, to get a feeling for him from himself, but he was asleep. But as I was having this conversation, he was beginning to wake up. And he started talking to a nurse. And the son said, oh, he's realizing that his leg has been cut off. So I could see, and the son got alarmed because he sensed that the father was alarmed because he just realized his leg had been cut off. And I felt it wasn't appropriate for me to engage in conversation with the father at that time, that there was too much going on with the nurse and with his condition and with his family, so I left the room. So I came by yesterday, the next day, and he was wide awake, and I went right to his side, sat with him, and he started telling me right away about his so many things. He said, I've been to so many places. I've been to far-off planets. I've been to places you could not possibly imagine. And because I read a lot about near-death experiences, it began to dawn on me that he'd had a near-death experience. And he just continued that finally he sat down on a park bench and someone was sitting next to him, and that person or whatever it was put his hand on his knee, and he said, and I felt so much love. I felt the most incredible love. I can't describe to you how much love I felt. And not only his words but his expression were just full of rapture at his experience. And I loved him. His love was so strong. I just loved this man. I told him I loved him. And he said how he had to come back. He knew that he had to come back and help all these people not be in the kind of pain that he had been in. Well, evidently he'd been in extreme pain for 15 years. He'd had a knee operation, a replacement, 15 years ago. And it was a botched operation, or there was some Teflon in the knee at that time, and the Teflon seeped out and infected him. And he described it, and he's a pain doctor. He'd been in the 10th level of pain for 15 years. And he'd endured that for 15 years. But and he was still in pain. I mean, as our conversation went on, he said, I'm in 9 right now. But the conversation wasn't about his pain. The conversation was about his love and his rapture and his joy and his devotion to his family, devotion. I love my children so much. I love my wife so much. The conversation was about his love. So that was one extraordinary conversation. Also on Monday, I walked into another room, and this man that was lying there, his eyes were wide open, he was quite awake. He had the most beatific expression on his face. Big, beautiful eyes. He looked so happy, so peaceful. And I said, "Wow, you look so happy." He said, "Yes, because it's unusual for someone in a hospital to look so happy." And I said, "You look so peaceful." And he said, "Yes." And I said, something inspired me to say, "Do you know that God is in this room?" And he said, "Yes, I know." Well, he's a very doctrinaire religious person, perhaps, but internally he is very conscious of God, conscious of God's presence. And I talked to him about some mundane things like, "Do you have a son? Do you have children?" "Yes, I have a son, and his son is incarcerated." And I said, "Oh, sorry. And do you have a daughter?" "Yes, I have a daughter, and she's studying to become a nurse. And she takes care of my wife, who has some illness." So this is not some story of great success or something like that on the material level, but this man was very successful. He was very happy. And then I asked him, "Well, what's going on with you? Why are you here?" And he said, "I just had my leg amputated." Again, that was a sudden thing. He'd collapsed. He was on his way to the Marshall Islands, which is his homeland, the previous day. And he collapsed. And there was a diabetic something going on with his leg, an infection perhaps. And he had to have his leg amputated. But it was not part of his conversation. He would not have brought that up if I hadn't asked him. His conversation was about happiness, peace, God. And I prayed for him. I prayed a long, long prayer because I was so inspired by him. And every line or two, he would say, "Praise God," or "Amen." And he wasn't like some kind of Jehovah's Witness or some, you know, jubilant thing, but he was just there with God. And I walked into the room yesterday, again, because I just was addicted to this guy. He was so wonderful. And the same thing. I mean, the room almost glowed with some kind of golden warmth, some tangible good feeling. So how does this relate to our practice? I've been asking myself that question. There are two schools about enlightenment. There's a school of sudden enlightenment, and there are schools of gradual enlightenment. So I would say that the first man had a sudden enlightenment, and he was holding it. He'd held it for 15 years, and I had complete confidence that this man was going to continue to hold that he was in some divine state that was unshakable. He would be called a never-returner. There's a stream enterer. There are these stages, stream entry, once-returner, never-returner, and awake, fully awake. Well, I would call him at least a never-returner. He was just there. And I think how this relates to practice is that we're not perhaps sudden enlightenment people, or maybe gradual enlightenment people, but I think my experience, and I imagine many of your experiences were that the first time you sat down, you became a stream enterer. That when we sit down, when we take that step to sit down, to give up, to let go of our pursuits, that we have, that we experience some kind of peace, some kind of letting go, some kind of relinquishment of our desires, some relinquishment of our ill will, some relinquishment of our cloudy, deluded states. We just sit with clarity. And we experience some kind of well-being that perhaps we've never experienced before. And that we experience that every time that we sit. And thus we learn how to practice. We learn this is a good feeling. This is this feeling of release from our the tyranny of our greed and our ill will and our deluded states. This feels so good. So we practice this, and we have lots of practices to help us continue to do this over and over and over again. And the more we do it, the happier we are. So our practice is about letting go. In a way, that's what it's about. It's about letting go of our greed and our ill will. So when we can feel ill will knocking on our door, fear, anger, jealousy, sadness, depression, those kinds of things, we have some sense that there's an escape from that. When we feel the need for praise, the need for fame, the need for sensual pleasure, when we feel oppressed by our desires, we have some sense that there is something that we can return to, some state of grace, some well-being, some presence that we can return to that's free of all of that. And we develop this freedom, this sense of freedom. My first teacher, Suzuki Roshi, said that practice is enlightenment, the actual act of practice, the act of letting go. At that moment, there is enlightenment. So I spoke a couple of weeks ago about focusing on positive states of mind, and I think that's important. I think it's important to turn our minds not so much focusing on the greed and the ill will, how bad we are, and that we've got to let go of this, we've got to get let go of this bad stuff in us. I think it's good to have an instinct to let go, an instinct to release ourselves, an instinct to relinquish these negative states. But the longer I practice, the more I feel it's even more important to put focus on the happiness that comes from that relinquishment, to shine the light of awareness not on the ill will, but on the ease, the well-being, the feeling, the actual feeling located in the body, located in the emotions, the good feeling of this release. And that can become the object of awareness, the object of concentration. So I think that's very productive. I don't know the time. Well, I also just wanted to say a word about how important ethics is. I'll just say that. Ethics is very important. Because if we're ethical, there's something called the bliss of blamelessness. So it paves the way to not feel bad about ourselves, to not be oppressed by these negative states of mind. And I'm not suggesting that we should go around that we are feeling ecstatic or tremendous peace of mind or some tremendous well-being or some happiness all the time, although I think those states of mind are very available to us and they should be relished when they come about. But just getting through the day by not hurting anybody, I think that's something that we can aspire to. Just not causing more trouble for ourselves is a really good thing. If we can get through the day without causing much trouble for ourselves or other people, I call that a successful day. And I just want to read you this little poem that I've been carrying around with me. This is from the middle-length discourses, called An Auspicious Day. The Buddha said, "Don't chase the past or long for the future. The past is left behind. The future is not reached. Right where it is, have insight into whatever phenomena has arisen. Not faltering, not agitated. By knowing it, one develops the mind. Ardently do what should be done today. Who knows? Death may come tomorrow. There is no bargaining with mortality and his great army. Whoever dwells thus ardent, active day and night, is, says the peaceful sage, one who has an auspicious day." So I wish you all an auspicious day today.